be seated.
Good evening. Merry Christmas. I will be reading from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and also Isaiah 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The people that walk in the darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
I'm in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But though Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. Oops, lost my place. That a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Lord God.
Thank you.
26 through 28. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt name his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered, and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. And for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, and be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
Greetings, saints. What an exciting night tonight. Jesus came not to judge, but he came to save us. We can rejoice in that. I'm going to be reading from the first chapter of Matthew, the 18th through the 25th verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And then she bringing forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Could we stand together again, please?
Thank you. You know, the Word of God says that Satan comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Sunday, he attacked my throat, and he tried to prevent me from coming up here. But praise God, I'm healed. Yes. My wife prayed with me. She laid hands on me. The Word says the believers will lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. And so I praise God that I'm here tonight to be able to read this. Yes. If you'll turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered as those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy is come to make us new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? Kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect love? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Thank you all. Now that we've got you to where you are pretty well exercised in getting up and getting down, we're going to let you sit for a while. Thank you, Laura, for that lovely song. Mary, did you know?
Yes.
The song asks. Mary, did you know? Little did Mary know. I think she can probably be forgiven if she didn't comprehend the fullness of the miracle that was taking place in her body. For 9 months, and then the occasion of the birth of the baby. Her revelation was limited to what the angel had told her, and the magnitude of what he had spoken, even her wildest dreams, must have boggled her mind more than her mind could comprehend. But here we are after 2,000 years of God's revelation, the testimony of tens of thousands of believers, and still most of the citizens of our world, many in our churches, don't have a clue as to what really took place on that first Christmas. I think most people understand all around the world that Christmas has to do with a baby named Jesus, because there are enough manger scenes and there are enough songs and Christmas carols and so on. But what most know about Christmas doesn't go any further than a special baby was born in a little town in Judea. Most believe correctly that in the manger the Son of God was born. And that's true as far as it goes. He was born as a human being, a person after the similitude of man. He was a tiny, precious baby born in the manner of all men. But that's not when his life began. When describing the nature of Jesus and who this wonder man was, Paul used the example of an ancient king and priest by the name of Melchizedek. In the 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews, Paul, talking about Melchizedek, said that he was a man without father, without mother, without natural descent, having neither the beginning of days nor the end of life. And in the 7th chapter, the 15th verse, he goes on to compare Jesus to this Melchizedek as a man who was born, made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Now the phrase, the power of an endless life, arrests me. And it tells me who Jesus really is. An endless life means he has no beginning and he has no ending. He's always existed. John the Revelator wrote in his Revelation, the first chapter, the 8th verse, quoting Jesus, these words: I am the Alpha, the first letter in the Greek alphabet. I am the Omega, the last letter in the Greek alphabet. I'm the A and I'm the Z and I'm everything in between. I'm the beginning and I'm the ending. I'm the one which is, I'm the one that was, and I'm the one which is to come. I'm the Almighty. See, most of us, we look at the manger scene at Christmas and we don't see the Almighty. We see a baby. We say, oh, isn't he sweet, Snookums? And we get all warm and fuzzy and all gooey over it. He was born a man on that first Christmas, but he's always been the Son of God. He's always been the second person of the Trinity. He's always been the Almighty. In Hebrews, the first chapter, the first verse, we're told that God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers, the ancients, by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Further in the second chapter of Hebrews, we're told that he verily took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He became just like a man. And then this verse from the 10th chapter, the 5th verse of the book of Hebrews, that is so illuminating. Jesus says about himself, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not," but watch this now, "but a body thou hast prepared me." In other words, I always was. But in order for me to come into the world and do what I need to do, I need a body. And so that's what you did. You prepared me a body. You didn't just create me. See, Jesus was not created on Christmas Day. The last line of the song that Laura just sung, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would be the great I am?" One of the men read this evening the passage from Isaiah, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse, and I want you to notice something there. I just noticed it this year for the first time. It's so familiar at Christmas time, these words, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Now think about that. Jesus, the child, the man, the human, is born. But Emmanuel, the Almighty, the Son, is given, not born. Jesus, the man. I always wondered there in the first chapter of Matthew, why is Joseph told that they're to call his name Jesus, and then it's declared that his name would be Emmanuel? Jesus, the man, was born on Christmas, but Emmanuel, which means God with us, the Son, was given, not born, given. And he was given in the form of the birth of this child. The Son was specifically sent. He did not just begin to exist. He has been eternally the Son. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, the 3rd verse, Paul writes that what the law could not do, and that it was weak through flesh, God, watch this now, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Not creating his Son, but sending his Son. Do you understand the verb there and understand the significance? He sent someone who already existed. And then in the 4th chapter of the book of Galatians, the 4th verse, this very illuminating passage. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." What happened at Christmas was not that the man Jesus originated in Mary's womb. He simply appeared there. Supernaturally, miraculously. But it was not when he began to exist. He always existed. He simply came to earth in a man's body on that first Christmas. This very familiar passage that I think most of us know from the first chapter of the book of John. We're told, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." Hey, do you understand that everything you can see, whether those things in the earth, those things in heaven, those things under the earth, they're all made by this man who was born, not created, but born on Christmas Day. He is the Creator according to the Word of God. He was in the beginning and He made everything.
Right.
And just a little aside here, the devil was not in the beginning with Him. The devil is a created being. Created by whom? Created by the one we've come here to worship tonight.
Amen.
And if he made him, he can run him. If he made him, he can control him. If he made him, he can let him loose or tighten him down. All things were made by him. In him was life, and life was the light of men, and the Word was made flesh. Notice this, the Word was made flesh. When Jesus was born, it was the Spirit of the Son of God occupying the body of a man. All the way back in the book of Genesis, this ought not to be hard for us to understand, because it's from Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation. The very first book of the Bible, the very first chapter and the very first verse says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And the word for God is the Hebrew word Elohim. The word Elohim is plural. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. In the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Before anything was, I am. In the 26th verse of the first chapter, where the whole plan for man was laid, God said, watch this, "Let us make men." Who's us? Who's us? We as Father, we as Son, and we as Holy Spirit. That's an us. One God, three persons. Let us make man in our image. See, it ought not to surprise us to see God look like us. Because in the beginning, He made us to look like, hallelujah, like Him. There should be a family resemblance. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. You see, Jesus is all through the Word of God. He's the one in the third chapter of the book of Daniel. Do you remember Nebuchadnezzar? The great king of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth at that time, and he had three Hebrew young men that he wanted to punish, and he threw him into a flaming, fiery pit. And after having had his soldiers throw these three young Hebrew men of God into the flaming pit, he looked in the pit and he thought he would see ashes. But he saw not only the three men, he turned to his soldiers and he said, "Didn't we just throw three men into the pit? Why is it when I look in there, I see a fourth man? And his likeness is after the Son of God."
Yes.
Same one.
Yes, right.
The same Almighty Emmanuel. God with Shadrach, God with me, God with you. Jesus Christ is the pre-existent God. He's the pre-existent Savior. He existed before anything was. He's the eternal Son. He's the eternal Savior. He's the eternal Almighty. And He humbled Himself. See, that's what Christmas is all about. He humbled Himself and became like we are. In Philippians, Paul writes about this man, Jesus, who being, watch this now, in very nature, God. Not like God, but God. He is God. He was God, and He always will be God. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in a human likeness. That's what happened in the manger. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Why did He go to the cross? Because men could not accept the fact that He was, is, and always shall be God. It was when He said, "I and the Father are one," that they began to plot to kill Him. Why did He do this? Why did he come? Why did he take on our nature? Why did he humble himself and limit himself by coming and occupying a body like ours so that we could become like he is? He became like we are so that we could become like he is. What is he? He's the Son of the Almighty God. What do we want to be? We want to be the sons and daughters of the Almighty God. How does that happen? He comes and becomes like us so that we can become like him. And that's what John 1 and 12 is all about. But as many as received him, received who? Received Jesus Christ. Received Jesus as whom? The babe in the manger? No. Received him as the Almighty God. To them gave he the power, the right to become the sons of God. How do you become a child of God? Beloved, you need to understand this. Everybody who's born in the image and likeness of man is not a child of God. There are two families in the earth. There's the family of God, there's the family of the devil.
That's right.
Every living, breathing person belongs to one of those families.
That's right.
When we are born, we're born children not of God, but children of the devil. The Bible says that in sin did my mother conceive me. In the same way, let me see if I can explain this. Do you know when I was born, I didn't have a thing to say about my last name? Do you know why I'm a Rock Hill? Because my dad was a Rock Hill. His dad before him was a Rock Hill. His dad before him was a Rock Hill. And it would have been impossible for me to be born a Drahan. Do you know when I was born white. Do you know why I was born white? I didn't have a choice. Nobody asked me. I was born white because my dad was white, my mom was white, their moms and dads were white, and so on back. Why was I born a male? Nobody asked me whether I wanted to be male or female. I didn't have any choice in the matter. Why was I born a sinner? I didn't have any choice in the matter. I was born a sinner because my dad was, his dad was, his dad was, and his dad was, all the way back to the garden where Adam was the first. Why was I born an American? Because my family were Americans. Why was I born a sinner? Because I inherited it. That's why the Bible says we need a new birth. That's why we must be born again. You see, if you only get born once, when you get ready to die, you could die in the same situation. You die a child of the devil. And the Word of God says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels and all that belonged to him. But what Christmas is all about is God said, I see all of these folks who didn't have anything to say about it when they were born. They were born with Adam's sin on them. They inherited it. They're children of the devil. They're children of sin. I must help them. This is the plan from before the foundation of the world. Who will go? The Son says, I'll go.
Yes.
I'll go. The Father said, do you understand what you're doing? Do you understand what you are putting yourself in for? Do you realize that the price for sin is death? And do you realize that in order to save mankind, you're going to have to give yourself completely and totally? He said, I'll go. I will go. That's what Christmas is about. It's the Almighty God coming to do for us what it was impossible for us to do for ourselves. And had He not intervened on our behalf, we would still be hopeless and still be godless and still be children of the devil. But as many as received Him, whom? As many as received Jesus for who He is. The Bible tells us who He is. There are many today that say, oh, I don't believe that. But you see, this is the issue. Believing what I'm declaring to you tonight as God's truth will take you from the family of the devil and put you into the family of God. As many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God. And that's how a person becomes a child of God. When you invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart, when you say, Jesus, I accept you for who you are. I don't care if the whole world doesn't believe. I do.
That's right.
When you do that and commit yourself to Him, A birth takes place on the inside of you. And do you know how it happens? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's just like the miracle that happened. Somebody read it tonight.
That's right.
Mary said, well, how is this going to happen? I mean, how am I going to have the Son of God inside me? How's that going to occur? I don't know a man. And the angel said, here's what's going to happen. The Spirit of God is going to hover over you like a hen hovers over a nest. And he's going to brood over you, and he's going to conceive inside you the child of God. That's what happens when you get born again. When you say, Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart, the Spirit of God comes and births the Son of God, the child of God inside you. And you become a part of the family of God. It's a simple transaction, but it's the most important one that any person will ever make. While Jesus was here upon the earth, he tried to make his followers understand who he was. Listen to this. John 3:13, he said, no man has ever ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man. He that cometh from above is above all. He that cometh from heaven is above all. You are from beneath, he said. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. It's all through the Word of God. It is so clear. Paul said it thusly, the first man, Adam, is of the earth. He's earthly, but the second man, Jesus, is the Lord from heaven. And listen to this, if there's any remaining question, just prior to his betrayal, on his as he prayed in the garden, he prayed this to his Father, listen. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, to believe that Jesus is just a special man is to put anyone at odds with the clearly revealed Word of God. To believe that he's just a special teacher, that he was just a good guy, and that he just had a lot of wisdom. If you believe that, and believe that the Bible is the Word of God, you need a pair of scissors to cut lots and lots of pages out of your Bible. Because from beginning to end, there cannot be any question that he is the eternal Son of God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Savior of the world. He existed before the world was. He made everything that is. He came to where we are to save us and deliver from us from what we had become. And bless God, he will be there at the end to receive us to himself. Somebody has said that this is the greatest story ever told. I agree. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every one of us who are in this worship center tonight. And my prayer, precious Lord, is that Christmas will never again be for any one of us, man or woman, old or young. Christmas will never be just a cute celebration of a special birth. When you come to me and you trust in me, and you let me live inside you, you become the light also. Now we have twice as much light. And now as you look around, you begin to see one another. You couldn't see each other before. That's what the candlelighting service is all about. It demonstrates in a dramatic way, in a natural way, what happened in the realm of the Spirit. Men could not see to find their way. that stumbled through life, hurt, broken, because there was no way to light their path. God Himself came into our earth, and He brought the light. Now, this is what happens. This is what happened when Jesus was here. He just had a few. He had a dozen. One of them turned out to be a phony. Left 11. But they shared the message that we shared tonight with others. At His death, there was 120 who received the mighty outpouring and infilling of the Holy Ghost. On that day, Peter declared the truth that we heard declared tonight. 3,000 more said, "Yes, I believe that. Let me light my life off this candle." And light began to come into the world. Ushers. Take the light from the person who's next to you. "I am the light of the world," He said. "He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." "Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but rather on a candlestick, so that it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." I guess you could call Christians peculiar, because we're not getting lit like many in the world tonight. I'm talking about lit. We're being lit by the light. "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee." Let me see your lights. Arise, shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is upon thee. This is what it looks like in the spiritual realm. This is what it looks like to the devil. This is what it looks like to his people and his workers when we let our light shine. Let me ask you to stand, please. And we like to close the candlelight service each Christmas Eve with probably one of the most familiar and beloved of all of the Christmas carols, "Silent Night, Holy Night." The words are on the insert in your bulletin. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. So tender.
safe in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing Alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
You see, when you understand what Christmas is all about, these songs take on a whole new life, don't they? Jesus was Lord God Almighty even at His birth, you see. And so we see this babe in a manger in an entirely different light when we know who He truly is. Pastor Michael Drawhan, if you'd come at this time and share a closing prayer with us, please.
John 8:12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that's what Christmas is about, is accepting the eternal Son, that we can no longer walk in darkness anymore, that we can become the light of the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, tonight, we do not come to you in the name of Moses or even Elijah or Abraham. We come to you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The Prince of Peace, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and Morning Star, the Alpha and the Omega, the First and the Last, the Beginning and the End, the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
Lord, we love you so much tonight.
Bless you, Lord Jesus.
We bless you as you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We worship you tonight. We bless you. We magnify you. We thank you that you came and you humbled yourself and became like us, that we could become like you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that not only tonight, but through the whole year, Father, that we'll rise and shine. That, Lord, we are the light of the world, Father.
Whoa.
That, Lord, we will take our candle out from underneath the bed and out from underneath the bushel, and, Lord, we'll set the light on the candlestick that the whole world may see. That, Lord, you're the reason for the season. That you come not to condemn, but you came to save.
Hallelujah.
You didn't come to judge us. You came to set us free. Hallelujah.
Bless you.
Hallelujah. You've come that we may have life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy, but you've come to give us life.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. And we accept that life
tonight, Lord. Yes.
We accept it. Hallelujah. And Father, help us, Lord. Give us the wisdom. Show us, God, how, Lord, we can take the greatest message, the greatest news, the greatest story ever told to this dark world. Hallelujah, Father. And Lord, we can tell them that Jesus is not mad at you, that he's not angry with you, that he loves you and he cares about
you. Yes, yes.
And he's concerned about you. Hallelujah. And he wants to come in and become Lord of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the plans that you have for us are not plans to harm us, but Lord, plans to prosper us, plans to give us a hope and a future.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that hope and that future can only be found in the eternal Son, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We love you. We bless you. We praise you, Father. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We love you. And we praise your holy name in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. And amen. From the elders and the pastoral staff here at Water of Life Christian Center, we want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may extinguish your candles. Distinguish your candles. The ushers will be at the door to collect them.